Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started in with a psalm, actually a psalm of praise. Psalm chapter 100, basically this is the whole psalm. It's the wonderful power pack little psalm, 100, 1 through 5. It says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations." Which is just what we did this morning. We just came before the presence of the Lord with gladness, with singing. And I love that verse 4. It says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving." Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Again, just clearly a psalm of worship and praise to God and declaring he's good, his mercy is everlasting, endures to all generations. What a wonderful, positive proclamation of the goodness of God. We're going to kind of put that next to another familiar passage of Scripture. This is Jesus when he's talking about praying. He says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When you pray, don't use vain repetitions like the heathen do, for they think they're going to be heard for their many words. Therefore, don't be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.'" Okay, I'm stopping there. I'm not quoting the whole Lord's Prayer. I'm doing it there on purpose for a reason. And I want you to see these two scriptures kind of back to back. Psalm 100, verse 4, written, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving." Or verse 2, "Come before his presence with singing." The first point of the Lord's Prayer is, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Many of you know that have been here for the last month and a half, we have been endeavoring to really kind of go into what Jesus called the secret place. He said, "When you pray, go to your room, shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place." And what we've been endeavoring to do is to kind of go in that secret place together. We talk about it. What do we do in that secret place? What happens there? You know, so many wonderful theological truths hinge on that secret place. You can have the theology of something, but there's something about the secret place that you begin to see things. We've been kind of saying it this way. The secret place is where Pinocchio becomes a real boy. It's where your theology, what you say you believe, you begin to get revelation of things, situations, circumstances. And as we go into that secret place, again, we've just wanted to take a little time and just try to talk about what that looks like. Door of Life, our slogan is where faith meets real life. And so what we're endeavoring to do is to take the secret place and just see what does that mean in real life. I go to the secret place, I shut the door, and I begin to talk to God. And we've taken it from a few different angles and whatnot, but this morning I want to take a look at the secret place from the standpoint of worship. Okay? And I'm simply calling the message this morning, secret place worship. Secret place worship. When we really understand, and you know, we've had different sermons on worship, the significance of worship and things like that. But again, I want us to look at it in the context of secret place worship. Many times when you go into that secret place, you shut the door and it's just you and God. You know, there's immediately a fight about, you know, four other things maybe you should do first before you do the secret place. Or all of a sudden you remember that thing that's in the refrigerator or that TV program or different things like that. It's amazing how your flesh starts to squirm when you first get into the secret place. And when you're there, when you're in the secret place, one of the most powerful ways that we can enter into it, because a lot of times, again, we're thinking secret place, I got to pray about some stuff, I got to do some things. And entering that secret place the way the Lord told us to, because what did Jesus say? And we think, well, the Lord's Prayer. Really, the Lord, what we call the Lord's Prayer is technically the secret place prayer. It's really the prayer Jesus gave us after he told us to go into the secret place and shut the door. He said, this is how you ought to pray. This is with the door being shut in your secret place. He said this. And so, we see the first thing he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, we know it goes on to talk about, you know, daily bread and forgiveness of sins, and deliverance from evil, all that stuff. All that stuff that we might be thinking about that we got to do business in our secret place. But the starting point of the secret place is hallowed be thy name. Entering into his gates with thanksgiving, entering to his court of praise. It's like, first things first, I'm going to enter this secret place by faith with praise and worship. Now, why is that so important? That's what we're going to look at this morning. It's not just because it's really a good thing. We need to. Worship does more in us in terms of preparing our hearts for what God has than we realize. It's not just something we're giving God. It's something that prepares our hearts for what God wants to give us. So as we're talking about worship in the secret place, we're going to just take a look at the Word of God in some of these areas and just understand a little bit how secret place worship prepares our heart for just we'll call secret place stuff. The first aspect of secret place worship is simply what I'm calling, it's a doorway to peace. Now, I'm using this word doorway as a visual, because when you walk through the door, it's like the first thing you're going to do. All right? Enter his gates. We're going to come through in secret place worship through a doorway to peace. A lot of times, when we go to the secret place, it's because we're heavy laden and burdened. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are labored or heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And I'm going into that secret place to get rest. And worship is a doorway to that peace. It's a doorway to that rest. I've got to get that answer. You don't need that answer yet. You need to go through the door to get to the answer. There's a doorway of worship. There is a doorway to that place of peace and rest. The scripture's clear. When it comes to peace. You know, first of all, this is probably one of my favorite scriptures of all when it comes to peace. Isaiah 26:3-4. It just says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. Do you ever remember the first time you read that? I read that. I thought, man, if I could just keep my mind on him, I'm going to have it made. And like, easier said than done, huh? If I could just keep my mind stayed on him, I'm going to have perfect peace. That's all I got to do. Just keep my mind stayed on him. I know, scripturally, there's a connection between keeping my mind on him and having peace. It's not the answers to my questions. It's not the money in the bank. It's not that stuff. It's just keeping my mind stayed on him. I'll have perfect peace. Keeping my mind stayed on him. Here's what we see in the New Testament, Romans. It puts it this way. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, here again, is life and peace. Spiritual mindedness. This is a very important aspect of peace and walking in peace. Here again, another exhortation, Colossians chapter 3 tells us the same thing. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is great. These three scriptures tell me something very wonderful and yet very vague. If I can just be spiritually minded, I'm going to have peace. I'm dealing with a very specific crisis here, a very specific situation with very specific people and very specific dollars and cents, and I got to think on something vague and spiritual and I'm going to have peace about it. Now, what is that? How does that work? That I'm going to actually have life and peace when it comes to the issues of my life by being spiritually minded. These things are absolutely true. They're absolutely powerful. The law, it says here, well, in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And then it goes on to say, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In other words, it's not just positive thinking. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is activated when you begin to set your mind on spiritual things. This is good. This is exciting. But again, we're talking about secret place stuff where Pinocchio becomes a real boy. What does this mean in real life? I'm in my secret place and I'm thinking vaguely about spiritual things so I can have peace, you know, in my life. Well, the scripture kind of, if you kind of think about it like a magnifying glass, you've got, you know, your 100% magnification, 200, 300, and then you get a little bit closer and closer in, and then you can see really what things mean. And so here we're kind of at a high level, you know, of spiritual mindedness, which is good. We get a little bit closer glimpse, specifically, of what this means in real life in Philippians. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippians, he says, finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw and me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So we're getting a little bit more specific. We went from things above to eight criteria. And, you know, when you look at something like that, and you come in to the secret place, and you're dealing with your stuff, and you're dealing with your situations, sometimes it can be very difficult to find something that meets all that criteria that you're just thinking about right off the top of your head. You're dealing with stuff. You're laboring. You're heavy laden. Something that's true and honest and just and pure and lovely. Well, there is someone who meets all that criteria. His name is Jesus. He is true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. He's praiseworthy. He is virtuous. And this is where worship is how we enter into that secret place. In other words, instead of me trying to figure out just spiritual-minded stuff and thoughts and revelation and things like that, I'm entering in through worship. My mind is set on Jesus. There is no straining or thinking or wondering or pondering. Jesus. Jesus is worthy of all praise and glory and honor and power, majesty, might, dominion. He is. He's the one. And so as we even did this morning, we just come on, we read those lyrics up on screen, and they're true, honest, just, pure, lovely. What we're doing is we're beginning to set our mind on spiritual things. And instead, and the power of secret place worship is it takes it from this vague concept of revelation and I should get this revelation on this, and where should I be here? I should probably know. Just forget all the big, heavy revelation stuff for a second. Enter into his gates with just thanksgiving and worship and praise and honor. That is the best, cleanest, purest, surest, concrete spiritual mindedness that you can enter into that secret place with. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are worthy to be praised. Glory to God. Hallowed be the name of Jesus. Setting your mind on him. Setting your mind on him and worship. It's what gets your mind tuned to that spiritual place. And I'd like to kind of relate, you know, a situation that I had a few years back when I'm running on the treadmill. I'm frustrated. I'm having an argument in my mind with a person who's not there. I'm just having it in my mind with them, all right? And I'm going and I'm, you know, seven levels deep in this argument. And I'm feeling pretty good because I feel like I got the upper hand. They don't have a comeback, you know. And I'm going along, and all of a sudden I just kind of hear out of the blue, you know, because and I know it's the Spirit of God. He's saying, just praise him. Just praise him. And my first inclination, my first thought was, Lord, just wait. You know, because like I said, I feel like I've got the upper hand here. Just wait. I said, let me finish this, and then I'll praise you. And that's when the Lord said these words that have resonated through my spirit for years to come. He said, you don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise me. A lot of times we enter into that secret place in this confusion, heavy ladenness, heavy yokeness, whatever you want to call it. White yoke.
Takes the pressure off the mind. And I remember just at that point getting that revelation on the treadmill, just saying, okay, Lord, I praise you, I bless you, I worship you. And then all of a sudden, the mental part of those little merry-go-rounds that you go in your fight, when the spiritual pressure of that leaves, it's like, wow, that was just the spiritual distraction from you. There's, you know, it's not about winning or losing or right or wrong. It's about looking unto Jesus. It's about peace, perfect peace, keeping your mind stayed on him. Like we said, easier said than done. One of the powerful ways that we do it, though, and it is a light yoke, remember, is we enter into those gates with thanksgiving, with praise, with worship. So I'm not entering my secret place trying to figure out some clever anything. I'm not trying to be cute. I'm not trying to wax eloquent. It's just thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And let me just say this too, from a practical standpoint, if you've got certain music or songs that really connect with you and really resonate with you, get that playlist on your MP3. Get that CD. It's not cheating. It's not. It's powerful. And if that can help you to get your mind on things above, all of a sudden, it's about him. Hallowed be thy name. I'm not even to the daily bread yet. I'm not even to the forgiveness. I'm not even to the I'm just hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name is somehow preparing me for the other secret stuff I'm going to do later. We're just talking this morning about entering into that secret place. This is the hallowed be thy name. You're going to go through hallowed be thy name. You're going to get my mind on things above through worship. Through worship. Through praising him. There's just something about that that is going to get me spiritually focused, spiritually tuned, because it is the one thing, and that's the cool thing about worship, about Jesus. It's the constant, you know? I mean, somebody can treat you bad, maybe you're going into that place, but Jesus didn't treat you bad. Somebody could be against you, but he's for you. No matter what's going on, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's not even a variableness. There's not even a shadow of turning with him. He's the rock that is higher than I. He's fixed. And so I'm saying, praise God, praise God. My peace isn't based on the circumstantial things lining up. When my peace is based on his goodness, when my peace is based on who he is, Satan can't touch that. Because even though my circumstances change, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm coming before him. I'm saying, Jesus, praise God. Here you are. You're the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And when we talk about this to the natural man, that's just spiritually, this is the stuff that'll humble your heart to hear from God. Again, things of the Spirit are foolishness to the natural man. I need something. You need to hallowed be thy name. I'm here, Lord, to hallow your name, to lift up the name of Jesus. To worship you. I'm going to enter into that secret place just trusting you, looking to you. As the psalmist puts it this way, said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make his boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. And so, what are we saying? We're just saying, really, the secret place worship, it's the doorway to peace. Peace comes as you're spiritually minded. It is an amazing thing. I mean, you can put on that song, that record, whatever it is, not record, but you know, MP3. Tell her I'm old school. No, I don't have any vinyls, but 8-track, here we go. But it is an amazing thing. You know, it's I think, sometimes I think, I'm just gonna talk a little candidly here. I think Christians get accused of, and we might subtly feel like, oh, you're just getting hyped up. You're just getting emotionally worked up. You're just getting emotionally. Well, I understand the argument, but I don't live by those things. I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And according to God, spiritual mindedness is life and peace. According to God's word, it is written, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. And to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That spiritual law flows through that spiritual mindedness, setting my mind on things above. It's not just mind over matter. It's not a mental exercise. It's a spiritual exercise to humble your heart and set your mind on things above in the face of all your real life circumstances. That's a spiritual exercise. It requires faith. It's not a mental exercise. It's spiritual. And it's one of those things that they're connected. And as you begin to set your mind on things above, things happen. That's why you listen to those songs. Give them. That's a gift that we've got. The world uses it all the time to stir themselves up. So as the church, we should be taking advantage of this thing. Take advantage of radio. Take advantage of music and CDs and things that we've got. That's what the scripture is saying. I'll bless the Lord at all times, in my car, wherever I'm at, you know, in my heart, just making melody in my heart to the Lord. It is not cheating to use and listen to music. We don't just have to have it a once-a-week deal. Thank God for our worship that we have corporately. But Jesus is talking about hallowed be thy name with the door shut. In the secret place, you're hallowing the name. Experiencing the presence of God throughout your day. Putting on the music, getting stirred up. It is not an emotional hype. The words of the songs. Now, obviously, it's got to be, you know, godly music. That's according to the word of God. But worshipful music that is giving glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. It stirs something deeper in you than just your emotions. It stirs your spirit. It stirs you and tunes you to heaven. And so as I'm entering that secret place, I'm not trying to be clever this time and trying to do it different than I did last time. Forget all that junk. I'm not trying to be creative. I'm just coming into worship. Just worship, Lord. I know one thing. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You died on the cross for my sins. Most important thing that ever happened in my life was Jesus dying on the cross for my sins. Your life too. Nothing more important than that. That's absolutely it. Nobody can say, nobody's ever done anything for me. Yes, somebody, God, has become flesh and done something for every single person. He died on the cross for their sins. I can just go through, praise God, life, eternity, thanking God for that one truth. So, the doorway to peace. I'm going to go through that secret place just worshiping God. And I'm just telling you from a very practical level, bring your music with you. If that's really helped, that is not cheating. I'm going to say it over and over. It's not cheating. Do it, do it, do it. It is a blessing. God put that into the earth for us to give glory to God. Whatever you do with all your heart is unto the Lord. Not, you don't have to. It's not law or religion on the other extreme. You can come in with your own song, things spontaneous. That's great. But sometimes I know people have felt conditioned from the persecution that they've received as a Christian, like it's some emotional hype thing. It's not. Okay, when you're listening to worship and music that's from the Spirit and the heart of God, praise God, enjoy it, utilize that. Make that part of your secret place time. So, praise God. Secret place worship, it's the doorway to peace because it causes us to get spiritually minded, which causes the life and the peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is set on me. And so that's what I'm doing. Hallowed be thy name, Father. Set my mind on you. Also, it's the doorway to faith. Now, as we're entering into the secret place, these are things that we just want to have in the back of our mind. Lord, I'm coming into your presence, and I'm worshiping you, I'm praising you, I'm blessing your name, and I know that as I'm doing that, that peace is working in my heart. Also, like we said, it's the doorway to faith. Jesus said of true worshipers, he said, I might have lost my battery here. Oh, is that me? No, it was me. Okay, good. Jesus said, this is the woman at the well story, and he tells her something very profound about worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth. Praise God. Here's the other powerful doorway that comes through secret place worship. You can actually praise your way into faith. You can come into the secret place a certain way, and you just begin to worship God. You begin to praise God, and all of a sudden, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God that you're hearing in the praise and the worship. And all of a sudden, there is faith that you didn't have before you came in through worship. See, the worship isn't just in spirit. It's also in truth. And this is such a powerful part of secret place worship, is when you realize that I am worshiping God in truth. I'm just worshiping things. You know, a lot of times we start about, you know, we kind of start out saying, I want to know, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I see? We got so many directional issues in our life. We're needing direction. We're needing truth. We're needing clarification. And again, truth is a very vague thing in of itself. Truth. You know, what is truth? Pilate asked Jesus. Truth. That's just as vague as spiritual things. What do we mean by truth? I'm going to worship him in truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. There is power. There is power when you speak this that doesn't exist when you speak Reader's Digest or an encyclopedia. There's authority in these words. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, one of the most profound things that Jesus did when he was on the earth, obviously apart from dying on the cross for our sins, which was the most significant thing, but he did something else. He held up the written word of his day and said, it is written. He's getting attacked by Satan, and what does he do? He doesn't say, I'm Jesus, get away from me. No, he says, it is written. You shall worship the Lord, and him only shall you serve. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He's quoting the written word. You know, the concept of the Bible comes under fire quite a bit. Perfect God communicating to imperfect man his perfect word and then sustaining it through the ages. Is that possible? I mean, just the concept of the Bible comes under fire. Well, apparently so, because Jesus proved it. He lifted up the written word of his day and said, it is written. And when you go through the Gospels, you'll see after the resurrection, the two on the road to Emmaus, he went back to the law and the prophets and said, don't you realize this is how it was supposed to happen, the Psalms, the law, and the prophets? And he'd say over and over, we have to do this so that it's fulfilled. What is written is fulfilled according to all that is written, written, written. Jesus validated the concept of a Bible, that perfect God could communicate his word to imperfect man, sustain it through the ages, and we could stand up and walk on it. That's what Jesus did. Well, I just think of him at the Passover when he lifts up the blood, the wine. He lifts up the cup and he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. My goodness, if God could successfully get his old covenant in the earth, how much more can we be confident that he got his new covenant in the earth? We can walk on this. And I just want to encourage you, you know, as you're growing in God, growing in your knowledge of the Lord, the Bible is the word of God. Don't ever get inoculated to that fact. It's true. His word is truth. I've said it this way for years. I've believed for 30 years the Bible is the word of God. But I believe it more today than I ever have. Because it's one of those things where your life continues to bump up against the word. And it's like, oh, there are no shortcuts. This really is truth. God's word is true. It's amazing. We worship God in truth. We worship God in the truth of his word. Here's a wonderful truth of his word. Revelation 5 says, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Oh, that's a wonderful truth. You were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. You've made us kings and priests to our God. Again, we're talking about worshiping in spirit and in truth, and how that worship is a doorway to faith. It's a doorway to the direction and the wisdom and the understanding for all these other questions that you have in your life. In other words, you may have heard people say it this way: instead of focusing on what you don't know, start with what you do know. That's a very good, profound truth. And focus on the truth you know. Focus on the truth you know. That is true, for sure. And this is what we do when we enter into worship. I focus on something that's absolutely true. Yeah, I may not know exactly what's going to happen at the end of the month regarding this, that, and the other. But I know that my Lord, my Jesus, has redeemed me to God by his blood. That's unchanging. Romans says, I'm persuaded neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, powers, things present to come, height, depth, any other created thing will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. There are some basic truths that I know that I can focus on, that I know are true, that I know are real. And as I'm entering into that secret place, that's what I'm doing. I'm saying, Lord, this is true. And this is where, you know, maybe you've heard like Bible promises, different things like that. That's where the truth of God's word can come in. And man, I'm worshiping God. And, you know, I know the fact that he hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I've heard that scripture in 2 Timothy 1:7. All right? Or I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or I know that if God be for me, who can be against me? I know these things are true. And I begin at this point to begin to declare what I know is true. What about that? I know one thing, God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? What I'm worried and feared, I know I have not been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Father, I worship you. I thank you. I praise you. Begin to worship, praise him, thank him, praise God, because these things are true. And the wonderful thing about it is that and as you begin to focus on what you know is true, there's just something about the authority of the Word of God. It just opens your spirit. It tunes your spirit for truth. You know, we're starting generally, and from the general place of praise and worship, we will begin to get some of the specifics in our secret place. But this morning, it's just important to realize that we come in through that thanksgiving. We come in through praise. And how truth, we think, well, worship in spirit and truth. What is truth? I worship him in the truth of the promises of God. I worship him in the truth of the Word of God. So I begin to get very specific as far as that goes. And then finally, it's the doorway to fellowship. And this is what I kind of want to really get to, because a lot of times as you're going in, again, to that place of praise and worship, you're going in to do business with God. But realizing that worship, it begins to open the door. It's like it begins to tune our mind. Okay, I know I'm supposed to be spiritually minded. Don't think about stuff that you should be spiritually minded about. Begin to worship God. Begin to do that. As you begin to get worship, you begin to get spiritually minded, praise God, things begin to happen. As you begin to worship him in truth, you know, it's almost kind of like the truth and the spiritually mindedness stuff is like something you're just going in by faith. But when you begin to do that, then something wonderful begins to happen. Fellowship begins to happen. And the problem that we have a lot of times is we enter into that secret place. We want to start with fellowship. I want to enter that door and be seven levels deep in sweet, intimate fellowship with the Spirit of God. That's happened to me a couple times. Not often. But most of the time when you enter the secret place, you're just going to come in by faith feeling nothing. Just worshiping in spirit, worshiping in truth. Glory to God. Lord, I know I'm tuning my mind to you. I'm beginning to worship you. And as you begin to do that by faith, something beautiful begins to happen. Fellowship starts to happen. Fellowship starts to happen. Hallowed be thy name. And I've had it happen where I'm praising God, I'm worshiping God, and all of a sudden, I'm beginning to pick up things. I get revelation, or I get a glimpse of his love. You begin to worship him, and you begin to realize how much he loved you, and you realize that love, same love, has been shed abroad in your heart. All of a sudden, it's like the servant who should have been looking at the master who forgave him the $1 million debt, and he forgot to do that, and he was strangling his brother that owed him the $20. Well, when you're in the secret place, you're looking at your master, and you realize he forgave you the $1 million debt. Oh, and you're stirred up, and all of a sudden there's grace to forgive. And there's grace to love. Oh, Lord, and all you are just minding your own business, worshiping God. Next thing you know, you're forgiving somebody and thanking God for the amazing grace and love. And all there's a fellowship of the Holy Spirit that just begins to happen. There's a fellowship. It's a doorway into a fellowship with God. But we're going to go through Hallowed Be Thy Name. We're going to go through a place of worship, a place of trust. It's a place of humbling yourself. You know, worship is humbling. You know, sometimes you kind of see the satirical people kind of bowing down in satirical ways, you know, to worship somebody like that. What do you see? A vision. It's humility. You know, and really, in the most strictest sense, worshiping is a form of humbling yourself under his mighty hand. He resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. And the Lord told it to me this way once. He said, "He said, I resist the proud no matter how much they know. And I give grace to the humble no matter how little they know. It's not what I know. It's humbling myself under his mighty hand. Don't care how long I've been walking with the Lord. I'm not entering the secret place on the credentials of my years. No. There's no credentials I'm walking. I'm coming in, hallowed be thy name. No matter how glorious my day was yesterday or tough it was, I'm entering the same way by the blood of the Lamb. I've been brought near by the blood of the Lamb. And I worship, that worship is a continual reminder that he made the way. He tore the veil, I didn't. And so I'm coming before him saying, worshiping, blessing him, Lord, okay, here we go. I'm not trying to have this really cool, I'm just coming in very, praise God, here we go, Lord. I don't know what you're going to do today exactly, but I'm coming in by faith, and I'm coming in worshiping. Now, here's a couple scriptures I just want to look at here in conjunction with fellowship. As it relates to this, we'll talk a little bit more about it. But Ephesians 5 puts it this way. It says, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting how he contrasts, you know, being drunk with wine as opposed to being filled with the Spirit. It's as though they both have an intoxicating effect. There's a good intoxication and there's a bad intoxication. You know, it's been said, you know, a lot of times that alcohol is kind of the social lubricant, you know, that helps people to kind of relax and open up and then be themselves and da-da-da-da. Well, being filled with the Spirit is a social lubricant for you when it comes to your fellowshipping with God in the secret place. And sometimes you need a few drinks before you're going to start getting intimate with God about some things in your heart. You're so conditioned to protecting things, even to yourself and people, that it takes a little while. But there's going to be some time, and that's the effect of worship. It's a filling yourself up. This was the misunderstanding we know at the day of Pentecost, a great example. Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk." This was the great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. "These are not drunk, as you suppose they are, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, says God, I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my maidservants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Here we see another connection of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with the sense of drunkenness. All right? What am I saying is, there is a worship, secret place worship is a doorway to fellowship. All right, I'm not talking about something weird or off. I'm just saying it's something that will soften your heart to where you can begin to worship and fellowship. The ability to be honest with God. It's not just your personality. Your personality doesn't give you that. It takes the Holy Spirit. It takes the Word of God to divide asunder your soul and your spirit, your joints and your marrow. The Word and the Spirit of God gives you the ability to step outside of yourself objectively and see yourself and be able to understand things. That'll happen in the secret place. There's a fellowship that happens of the Spirit of God that happens as we begin to drink, as we begin. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled, but drink. Drink of the Spirit. What does that mean? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. Entering into his gates with thanksgiving and praise. If we do it, it's not just like a checklist on my to-do list of the secret place. If I can, by faith, begin to realize how secret place worship affects me, it just naturally tunes my mind to things above. You know, it just naturally causes me to begin to worship God in truth, and I begin to declare the truth of God's word. I begin to get tuned to truth. And as I begin to start with what I do know from the word of God, then I begin to get ears to hear what I don't maybe necessarily know or what I'm seeking truth about. And then there's a doorway to fellowship. You ever see sometimes in movies, a lot of times, especially, well, if there's military things involved, plots, an under officer will ask the senior officer, permission to speak freely. Permission to speak freely. What does that mean? You know that the officer's about to hear something he probably won't necessarily want to hear. But a lot of times we go into that secret place and we can be just bound. And it's just like the worship and the fellowship, that's where we kind of get, it's like permission granted. Say what you want to say. Say what you want to say. Like we've been saying it this last month, you're not going to make God blush. There's going to be no shadow of turning with him. He knows it. But there's just a softening of our own heart that happens as we begin to drink, as we begin to drink of the Spirit of God. Songs, hymns, spiritual songs. It's not just something we're giving to God. It's something that, as we do by faith, is preparing our heart to go into the deeper chambers of the daily bread and the forgiveness and different things like that. But we're passing through this wonderful place of worship. It's a wonderful place of worship. And what I've wanted to try to do is, the secret place, there's this interesting dichotomy. On one hand, I want to demystify the secret place. It's not like if I'm going to go in there, I got to feel something and I got to have a revelation. I'm going to be cute and clever and da-da-da-da-da. And we put all these expectations on ourselves where it never quite happens. Well, there is a beautiful mystique in the secret place. But it's going to go, as you go through the doorway, it's in there. And don't make a big deal of the doorway. Just by faith, begin to go through that doorway with praise and worship. Yeah, my mind's messed up. Yeah, I may have said things I'm going through. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. I don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before I can bless the Lord. What are we talking about this morning? Worship, it's a doorway into that secret place. I know I'm going in there for stuff. I know I'm going in there to say some things, to do some things, to receive some things. But go through the door. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Humbling ourselves, songs, hymns, spiritual songs. It's not just something I'm giving God, I'm drinking. I'm actually getting a good intoxication that's causing me to lose my inhibitions to be able to talk about some of those tender parts of my heart that I just can't talk to anybody else about. There's something about worship that he will just bless you and grace you and help you. It is the social lubricant in the secret place. Worship, praising him, blessing him. Just amazing stuff goes on. And that's where the mysterious stuff happens. That's where you're in there and you're worshiping him and you don't know if you've got your 5-point secret place time, you don't know whether you're on point one or point five. All right? You're just there and you're fellowshipping with God and he's showing you some stuff and praise God. That's awesome. But this morning again, just talking about the secret place, how do you start? Just start with worship. And again, like I said, if you've got some music that really connects with you, there are songs. I'll tell you, there's a Hillsong song called Made Me Glad. And I thought, man, it's like me and that song have been through a lot together. You get some songs, they're just like personal friends, that you really enjoy, that really bless you. And there's nothing wrong with that. These are good things. There are good songs, hymns, spiritual songs that bless you, man. Play it. Blare it. That devil comes about as a roaring lion. Sometimes I'll turn up my music. Praise God. It's the way I roar back, setting my mind on things above, I'm worshiping my God, my Savior. It's not strife and anger and hatred. It's worship and praise to God, giving thanks. We can turn the music up. We can worship God. We can drown out those roars with the glory of God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is greater than the roars of the law of sin and death. He that is in me is greater than he that's in this world. And it's when I'm setting my mind on things above, it's greater things. Spiritual things are greater than natural things. Truth is greater than lies. Thanksgiving is greater than selfishness and complaining and victim complexes. Thankfulness is greater. Those things are greater. And there's just something about it. I'm going to enter your courts, Lord, with thanksgiving, praise in my heart, and then we'll see what happens this time. So I'm kind of coming in very mechanically. Nothing fancy, nothing clever. I'm coming in by faith with hallowed be thy name. The door is shut. Hallowed be thy name. And you'll see that Lord's Prayer is a really good prayer as a whole of just a pattern of things to pray. And I will use that prayer as a template a lot of times to pray. Hallowed be thy name. Take some time to worship God. Now thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We just had a word, a prophetic word this morning about that. Praise God. His word, his kingdom come, his will is being done on the earth through us as it is in heaven. As we do and walk out the good works he's ordained us to walk in. Absolutely. You know, give us this day our daily bread. That might be a good time to begin to pray about, you know, situations, things like that. But you're coming through that doorway of praise. I'm coming through the doorway of praise and worship. And as I do that, praise God. Have a few, like as Peter would say maybe, you get a few drinks there, you begin to lose some of those inhibitions, and things begin to happen. Worship God, though. Worship God. Worship God. It is just, it is absolutely a doorway to the other stuff. And yeah, not only that, but that sweet fellowship. A lot of times your theology things, what do I believe about tongues? What do I believe about healing? What do I believe about prosperity? What about these big hot button issues of the day that the church likes to fight? You know where you find out? You know ultimately you need to take those things into the secret place and begin to work some things out. What you believe about some things, God will show you. God will begin to reveal them to you. It's not just you holding the party line. It's about you going into the secret place and finding out for yourself. And you might be surprised what God shows you on some of these things. That's. But I'll tell you what, when you get stuff in the secret place, nobody can take it from you because you know wherein you believed. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. I just thank you, Lord, that there is a secret place, Father, that there is a place that we can come to and that we can come to and we can enter in with thanksgiving and praise. Father, I just pray that for each one here this morning as we just endeavor to cultivate and enjoy our secret place in you, that we would just come by faith, lifting up your name, singing, Lord, songs from our heart that we get spontaneously, spiritual songs, melodies, psalms, hymns, known songs, playing wonderful songs that we know and appreciate, whatever it is, Father God, I pray that each one here would just enjoy and experience, Father, just the freedom to come into that place by faith in worship, knowing that worship that we give to you, the fruit of our lips, tunes our minds, tunes our words, tunes our faith, tunes our hearts to you, Father. It's for our sake we worship you. We worship you. We need our hearts, we need our minds focused on you in the secret place. Father, I pray that. I pray that over each one here this morning, that there be no, all the cleverness and all the spirituality contest junk falls to the side, and that we just enter that place. Oh yeah, we know how to enter this place. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. I love you, I love you, I love you. Hallelujah. We've been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ, a new and living way. Thank you, Father, for it. Praise you, Lord. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the secret place. It's a mysterious place. Amazing things happen there. You work on my heart. You heal my heart like a surgeon. I don't understand it all, but there are things I do understand. I enter that place by faith. Not my cleverness, whether I had a good day or a bad day. It's by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, new and living way, that I worship you. I worship my way into the secret place. As I do, my mind is on things above. My heart is in faith to truth and my heart is in fellowship with you. Permission to speak freely through the intoxicating drink of the precious Holy Spirit that helps me to let go of my fears, my self-importance, and to receive the breath of the Spirit. Lord Jesus, today's my day, the day I call upon your name. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. You died for me. I receive that love now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.